I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7. Thanks for listening this morning. There is a debut novel out in stores right now by Victoria Shore called Backlands. It is a historical fiction novel based on a Brazilian legend of a one-eyed bandit and his wandering band of outlaws who kind of ruled a certain area in northeastern Brazil in the 1920s and 1930s. Victoria Shore's novel Backlands is what we're going to be talking about. Victoria joining me on the phone. Victoria, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks so much. Wonderful to be here.
I have to say that I was swept up into your description of the backlands of Brazil, an area I was not familiar with, and the story of these outlaws in the 1920s and 1930s, almost a Brazilian Bonnie and Clyde, but many differences. This life in this area of Brazil, how did you learn about what happened in this particular region and the story of this bandit?
Well, you know, it started, I just started by sort of randomly, I was living in Brazil, we lived there for 10 years, and I heard his song, which kind of amazed me. His song is dedicated to the women of the region, and it's, "You teach me to make lace, and I'll teach you to make love." And I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting, a bandit singing about lace and love to the women. And then I found someone to take me up there, and she was very hesitant. She's a Brazilian photographer whose photos, you can see her photos on my website. They're just beautiful. And she said, well, no one has ever liked it but me. And I said, all right, I'm game. You know, I've traveled a lot in my life. And through Central America in the 70s, before cocaine, I have to say, it was a peaceful, beautiful place. And then Peru and Colombia also in the 70s when it really was another world. And that was the sort of thing I loved. So I went with her. And we would get on a road in Salvador and drive from Salvador, which is the coastal city with palm trees and beaches, just what you think of as Brazil, and start driving west. And as the road got worse, the countryside got absolutely, it changed from the palm trees and the green to semi-arid cactus and thorn bush and strange trees. And it became like driving into a dream almost. And I found I loved it there. You know, it was another time, not just another place. It was like going back 100 years or more.
Well, you described, you know, of course, when people think of Brazil, they think about the beaches and they think about the tropical nature. But this outback is really a rugged landscape. Describe, you know, you said the landscape changed. Describe what this outback looks like.
Well, all of a sudden, instead of anything, instead of bright green, everything becomes a kind of olivey green, you know, sage green, cactus stuff. All of a sudden, there are no cars. We never saw another car in four long trips out there. Horses, you see horses. People, if you see people, they're on horses. They're in ox carts, which I'd never seen in my life anywhere. I'd heard of them, but I'd never seen them. And kind of sweeps as far as the eye can see without a fence, without anything. You just look around and you see this beautiful semi-dry land, just the way it was kind of at creation, you know, thousands of years ago, just kind of heavenly, you know. You don't hear anything, and then in the distance maybe goat bells, you know. It's such a privilege to be someplace like that. Nowadays, when we're so surrounded by noise and fences and everything seems settled, you know, this is a place that was still wild. And the people were different, too. The people on the coast are more African, Portuguese mix. Here, there's a little bit of the African, but it's more Portuguese-Indian mix, native Brazilian mix. So, and there are a lot of these villages where people will have dark skin and blue eyes from the Dutch that came in the 1500s. So it's just kind of an amazing place, different culture, very courteous, old-fashioned way of speaking. We once asked a man the first day, how far is it to the next village? And he said, 7 leagues. And we're thinking, God, what's a league? You know, who knows what a league is?
Well, in this landscape, you know, very reminiscent of what we conceive of as the Wild West in the Southwest of the United States. Kind of that harsh reality there, and the bandits too, and the banditry growing out of people trying to eke a living out of this rugged landscape. And that's a point I saw in your novel Backlands was, you know, it really does make people live a hard life if they try to survive there.
It's a hard life. It's just a given that it's a hard life. There's a great Brazilian writer called Euclides da Cunha who wrote a book that's set about 50 years before this. And as he said, people become grown-ups without having been children. You know, the sun rises. The place is afflicted by droughts. Every once in a while, there'll be a terrible drought that will send people really fleeing from their house. They'll bar the door and just take off with everything they can carry. And when it's a really bad drought, this was maybe more in the olden days, but when it was a really bad drought, you know, if you were walking on those roads, you'd be passing bones lying up by the side of the donkeys and horses, and then a few goats, and then, you know, people. But they respected certain things. You know, they knew they were strong. They felt they were the strongest people in Brazil, and they loved their music. They loved their dancing. They really knew how to celebrate when they could. And the story of Lampião. Now, the first thing that attracted me was the sort of cool piece about lace and love, but what then drew me in was that he became a bandit to try to seeking justice. What, you know, a lot of these places didn't have fences. They were so vast. In order to sustain yourself, you needed a huge amount of land. So people would run their goats, and goats would intermingle. And then, so there were often feuds between neighbors. The bandit, Lampion's neighbor, murdered his father in cold blood. And he went to court to seek justice. He wasn't thinking of murdering. He was thinking, you know, revenge. He was thinking of justice. And the judge said to him, look, your father's dead, but the men who killed him are alive, and they can come back and kill us both, so we're going to have to leave justice to God. And Lampion decided that he wasn't the man to do that. And he picked up a gun, joined a band that was already operating, a very small band, and thought he would just maybe kill some of the guys who killed his father and then go back to his ranch. But he was just too good at what he did. He'd been a really good rancher, tracker, and so he knew the land, and he could always outsmart the police. So before he knew it, there were 100 guys that joined the band with grievances of their own, same kind of story as his. And he couldn't go back.
I'm speaking with Victoria Shore. Her novel, Backlands, is available where books are sold. You can learn more about it. Our website, wvxu.org. And it's the story of the one-eyed bandit Lampion and his lover, Maria Bonita. And this is a love story. It does seem that you approach it from Maria's perspective, because she was in a passionless marriage with an elderly shoemaker when this band of outlaws came through. And she, Maria Bonita, seems to be the inspiration for that line you were quoting from the song by Lampion.
She does. She does, although she knew the song too. And that's one of the things that drew her to him. He didn't know her. She had seen his photo, because there were always journalists around in these villages that the bandits would go into. The police would basically flee. The bandits would come into a village. There would be an interview, photos, and she had read these articles. And she'd been reading them and hearing stories ever since she was a girl. So all of a sudden, one day, you know, the bandits came to her husband's shop with some things that needed fixing, some gun belts and knife sheaths and sandals and all the leather trappings of their lives. And she kind of stayed in the background listening to some stories. And when the bandit left that night with the things, she followed him out and said, if Lampion will have me, I'll go, which is, you know, was kind of an amazing thing. And he did, and she did, and yeah, the rest is in the book.
And this one on, and we should say that although this was a band of outlaws, they were very chivalrous and L'Ambiance, to some degree, the Brazilian Robin Hood, if you may, robbing from the rich and sharing with the poor.
Yes, exactly. Very much so. Very much so. And as he said, he didn't rob. He asked. He would he would go into a town, ask the mayor. The mayor would receive him in the streets, basically, because he was a folk hero. People loved him in a way. I mean, they were afraid of him, but they were really excited. When he came to town, something happened, you know. So the mayor would receive him and the town fathers. They would draw up a list of who could give, how much each one could give, as L'Ambiance would say, without feeling it. They would give him the money. He would then go around and buy things that they would need, soap and denim to make, you know, more uniforms, needles, salt, they always needed salt, and then bullets and guns if there were any in the town. And then he would throw a dance for the people. And I met so many people who remembered his dances who'd been to them when they were young, and it was really fun to hear their stories.
Well, I was going to say, you mentioned that you had lived in Brazil for 10 years, but you didn't mention you've been working on this book for about that long.
Why was it so hard? You know, when I sat down, I was planning a nonfiction book because the story's so great. There's nothing in the book that isn't true. All the, you know, everything in there, all the people, all the stories, everything is true. It was very hard to do because nobody knows anything about this region, nobody in America. And so it was getting kind of didactic, and I thought, this isn't the story I want to tell. I want it to be, you know, as exciting. I want people to be as excited as I was by it. So I realized I also wanted to talk about the why, which means you go into somebody's head, and that's what takes it into fiction. You know, I wanted it to be both dramatic and really worth reading, you know, so you learn, sort of opening a new horizon for readers. So
I have I will say that in reading, and, you know, because you are inside Maria Bonita's head and her thinking and throughout most of the novel, Backlands, it did make me look inward and try to figure out how and what I look for in life, because that's really what Maria was looking for. What did you learn while you were writing Backlands?
Exactly. That's so true. That's so true. It's really the question of is a passionate life worth it? You know, if you're going to live a life that is passionate, there's always going to be a price to pay. In a way, we have lived that life, and I'm not going to talk about our price, but is it worth it? And the answer to me in the end was, yes, it is, you know? And, you know, plus it's never too late to figure out what a passionate life would look like for you, you know, or what aspect of it, you know? That it's worth it to get up in the morning thrilled to see the sunrise, you know? And to remind people of that. That's really what I took away from it. The passion of life is worth seeking out if it means just getting up earlier in the morning to watch the sunrise or going out at night and looking at the moon every night. Something like that is what it's really all about. It's what makes life worth living, and it's worth it to do it, even if there's a cost involved. In this case, they lived the ultimately passionate lives and paid the ultimate price, but we all die at some point. We might as well really take advantage while we're here.
How have people reacted to your novel Backlands and learning the story of this great area of Brazil?
Yeah, it's been a real thrill for me because I'm so used to working on my own, and I do a lot of political writing of things that people, you know, kind of very out there things, and I'm not used to people agreeing with me, and it has been a thrill to have this book so well received and a lovely surprise, I must say. That has been just great. And people are, you know, both my friends and the New York Times Book Review loved the book, so that's been just amazing to me.
That always helps, right? Well, Victoria Shore, you took 10 years in writing your novel Backlands. I imagine you are writing other things. Do you have plans for the future in another novel?
I do. I have other novels already written because I've been writing for a while, and I'm thrilled that there's now interest in getting some of them out. Short stories about expatriate life in Brazil, and actually a book about Joan of Arc's last week. You know, and I'm planning another book about this region that an incident that happened 50 years earlier. So that's where I am. And I'm also trying at this moment to start a college prep girls' school on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation.
So not relaxing at all, are you, Victoria?
Not relaxing yet.
Not yet.
Hoping to at some point.
Well, thanks for the thrilling tale and for some historical insight here, too, in the backlands of Brazil in the early decades of the 20th century. A fantastic story of that one-eyed bandit and his lover. And thank you for spending some time with me this morning on the Book Club at 91.7.
What a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Victoria Shore's novel is Backlands, based on the true story of the one-eyed bandit Lampiano and his lover Maria Bonita. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.